online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, police are continuing to appeal for information in relation to a man missing from Tyrone who they believe may have travelled to Donegal. A Donegal man has died following a fatal crash in Galway. Donegal County Council has passed a capital budget of €937 million. Meanwhile, defective block homeowners staged a protest outside County House in Lifford today. Letterkenny University Hospital remains under significant pressure, with 83 people waiting on a bed. And concerns have been raised over the protection of residents at a designated centre for adults with disabilities in the county. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. First in news, police are continuing to appeal for information in connection with a man missing from Tyrone who they believe may have travelled to Donegal. 55-year-old Kieran Coyle was last seen in Dungannon at around 10 o'clock this morning. He's described as 5 foot 6 or 5 foot 7 in height, with a stocky build and a shaved head, and is believed to be wearing a plain dark t-shirt, jeans and trainers. Kieran has links to Donegal and Cavan and may have travelled to either area. It's believed that he was driving a silver-coloured Mercedes SUV-type vehicle. A Donegal man has died following a fatal crash in Galway. Mark McDade from Carndonagh had been visiting a sick sibling in hospital when he was struck by a car while out walking at around 12:30 yesterday morning. He was pronounced dead in hospital. The driver of the car, a man in his 30s, did not require hospital treatment. Donegal County Council has passed its three-year capital programme for the period from 2023 to 2025, with over €937 million expected to be spent on capital projects such as housing, roads and major tourism projects. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Head of Finance Richard Gibson told today's meeting that while these figures are based on estimates, it's anticipated that Donegal County Council's total capital expenditure for next year will be over €292 million, with over €937 million being spent in the 3 years from 2023 to 2025. Next year we'll see almost €133 million spent on housing and corporate services, just over €90 million on roads and transportation, and almost €30 million on community services. He said in recent years, the opportunity to engage in larger scale capital investment in Donegal has increased significantly. Total capital expenditure in 2021 was just over €97 million, while this year we'll see a final total in the region of €192 million. He said Donegal County Council will continue to bring forward projects for funding and continue to grow its capacity for match funding so it can co-finance projects with government. Mr. Gibson confirmed that in January, members will be asked to approve a loan facility of €10 million to ensure that if opportunities arise, the council has the ability to secure funds where necessary.
The budget was passed today on the proposal of Councillor Kieran Brogan.
It's huge, it's massive, it's the biggest amount of capital funding that we've ever seen in our history coming in here to Donegal. It's a very ambitious plan, and I think the members will acknowledge a huge investment by government right across the board in roads and in housing, but in many other areas. And the whole area of tourism, there's some projects that are going to be changed Donegal. So many good developments, the piers and harbours, the Brexit adjustment funding is very, very significant. There have been a lot of work happening over the last number of years, and I think the council, in fairness, the members have stepped up to the plate here, and I'm delighted the executive is so upbeat and confident as well. I suppose the challenge we have now is to oversee and deliver the projects, but thankfully we've so many announcements recently that is going to put Donegal in a really good place, and I don't think we've been in as good a place for a long, long time.
Obviously, out of the projects to be funded over that period, we know about, we've spoken about, we're talking projects in Dunree, we're talking about major infrastructural projects and roads and that right across the county. They're all well rehearsed, but the difference between talking about them and actually putting shovels in the ground and putting diggers on the roads is huge, and your hope is that this will mean real work taking place sooner rather than later.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, we're seeing huge investment in so many different areas. The URDF funding for Letterkenny is over €18 million in the last number of weeks. The guts of €8 million being allocated to somewhere like Remelton. We see huge plans for Rathmullen, the Dunree project. I mean, there's massive investment, and we see what the work going on in Errigal Mountain. There's a huge success as well. We've seen huge work that's going to make a huge difference. The whole area of enterprise and employment is a big part of it as well. So I think as a council, we've been very innovative right across the board.
Defective block homeowners staged a protest outside the county house in Lifford today ahead of the final meeting of Donegal County Council for 2022. The meeting was adjourned for a time earlier while prominent campaigners Paddy Diver and Lisa Hone, along with three affected homeowners, addressed the chamber. Afterwards, Cathaoirleach Councillor Liam Blaney and Acting Chief Executive Liam Ward addressed the crowd, promising a detailed response to questions raised within a week. Councillor Blaney told those gathered that he is committed to getting answers.
Unfortunately, there's only so much we can do as a council, but I will ensure, as Chairman of the Donegal County Council, that I will keep, along with the rest of council, the pressure on the Executive and our own elected members in Dáil Éireann and the Senate to do what they can to ensure that this new scheme and the demands of the people here today, especially for 10 or 12 of the worst houses, the worst homes, the worst affected homes, that they are looked about, whether it's a second home for them until they get their own house remediated, or whether it is releasing the funding so they can go and rent a house themselves. But that seems to be, and I think is the most immediate thing that we can do, and hopefully it will help, if we can get them to do that, it will help to, first of all, get the worst ones sorted out and maybe help to move the scheme forward.
Well, as Councillor Blaney and Liam Ward re-entered the council building, they did so to jeers from several hundred protesters gathered outside. One woman told the gathering she had spoken to a building control officer over 10 years ago and warned him about what was happening.
12!
Action! Action!
Ignoring
we
us for another 12 years!
Action today!
Don't you go back into
enough
your
is enough!
We're all under that
enough
stone!
Enough is enough! 11 years, I'm waiting for a reply from building control.
Shame on you.
Concerns have been raised in regards to the protection of residents at a designated centre for adults with disabilities in Donegal. At the Dunwiley Centre in Stranorlar, it was found that an incident of alleged suspected abuse had not been suspected as a safeguarding concern. Eamon Torsney has more.
HICWA carried out the follow-up inspection to review actions required as identified in an inspection in February following concerns about the management of safeguarding concerns and overall governance and oversight of HSE centres in Donegal. Improvements were found to be needed in some aspects of risk management in ensuring that the procedures for the protection of residents and for the review of physical interventions were adhered to at all times. Inspectors say the safeguarding procedure had not been followed with regard to one safeguarding concern between residents that occurred in August and was recorded by staff on an incident reporting form. The alleged suspected abuse had not been submitted to the chief inspector as it was not identified as a suspected safeguarding concern. One incident of bruising was not included on the relevant quarterly notification. HICWA reports that this was also of concern due to two previous safeguarding concerns being screened by the person in charge and designated officer, who concluded that there were no grounds for concerns for those incidents, yet the safeguarding and protection team did not agree and safeguarding plans subsequently had to be developed.
Meanwhile, concerns were also highlighted over residents' rights at Chas Sonna. The centre in Donegal is governed by HSE Services in Sligo Leitrim. Inspectors say residents' rights to privacy was significantly impacted as CCTV cameras recorded private areas of the centre which residents had not been made aware of. Links to both reports are available on our website, highlandradio.com. Letterkenny University Hospital remains under significant pressure today, with 83 people waiting on a bed there, making it the most overcrowded hospital in the country. Elective procedures have been postponed at the hospital as it also deals with a significant increase in the number of people presenting with COVID-19 and five wards affected by an outbreak of the virus. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
The high number of people attending who need to be admitted for ongoing treatment means that there is pressure on bed availability. Sealtis says this is resulting in significant delays being experienced by patients in the emergency department. The hospital is postponing elective procedures and patients have been contacted directly. All available beds are in use. Every effort is being made to discharge patients who are ready to go home so that beds will become available for patients who need to be admitted at the earliest opportunity.
The Carindonagh Traders Association has been targeted by scammers, losing thousands of euros. The hackers intercepted as the group attempted to pay an invoice for the recent Halloween carnival in the town. They were left out of pocket as well as the supplier. Deirdre Bradley, chair of the Carindonagh Traders Association, told today's 9 till noon show that they have been left penniless.
Unfortunately, the Traders Association was one of the victims to this awful thing that's happening. Apparently, from what we've been told, it is happening a lot, but we want to create awareness. It is invoice interception, is what we're told it's called. So we're paying for an event that was organised here, a very successful event that was organised here in town. We received the invoice. We paid it, as you do normally, online. But unfortunately, it wasn't paid to the person who should have got the money. So two people are out. We're a voluntary group. We're dealing with other people's money. We rely on fundraising to pay. Now we're left with a supplier who has fulfilled his side of the contract, done the event, made a fabulous job of it, and we're left now thousands down because the email was hacked.
The hackers, these criminals, were able to gain access. They knew that an invoice was due. They got access to a system somehow, and then in the middle of it, they were able to maybe send a message, I don't know, whatever it might be.
It was two invoices, and another invoice was sent, and they were able to reply to say that, this is the bank that we want to pay to. It is under investigation at the minute, and AIB are doing everything they can. Hopefully, we may have a result, but the company is left unpaid and we're left penniless.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports Letterkenny. For the perfect leisure wear present this Christmas, check out the Donegal GAA Peak Range, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie, with something for all the family.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and Division 1 champions Meath will begin the defence of their Lidl Ladies National Football League title against Dublin. The opening round of fixtures take place on the weekend of January the 22nd. Last year's runners-up, Donegal, they'll be away to Galway. Mayo will face Cork, and newly promoted Kerry, they'll be away to Waterford. The Division 1 and 2 finals will be held at Croke Park on April the 15th, with the Division 3 and 4 finals the day after. Meanwhile, Setanta, they are Ulster Junior Hurling Club champions for 2022 after they had a 10-point victory over Shane O'Neill's Glenarm on Sunday afternoon. 122 to 15 points is how it finished, with Davin Flynn finding the back of the net for the Donegal men. After the game, Setanta boss Gary McGettigan said he was delighted to win the Ulster title and was particularly pleased with how the first half went.
Oh, I have to say we were delighted. 2 points down, you know, we said, I'm not even sure if we won the toss, but we said we'd play against the one if we had the choice. That one's probably a 7 or 8 point one there, you know, so we were more than happy to go on 2 down at half time. We sort of knew we had it on us, just a matter of getting the scores in.
Listen, we'll give credit when credit's due. Your guys were exceptional in the second half. The likes of young Rory Campbell, obviously Davin Flynn with 1-7, Coulter with 10 points. There's a few more boys in there we could mention as well. But it was probably one of the best performances as a unit that team put in this year?
Oh, it probably was. That's probably one thing that stands there, is that it's maybe somebody different that's stepping up every day. You know, up until now, Rory probably had a quiet enough campaign. Davin's always coming on with a couple of points, but they, you know, not the what he done today, you know, and then so you always rely on Deke for the guts of 10 points. We'll have to get out of him. I think he might have missed a couple there, but we'll let him away with it.
This was 5 years, a long enough wait to get an Ulster title again for the club.
Oh, that's surely. Like, you know, people say we were there before, but I was going through the starting team from 17 during the week, and there's only six boys starting the day that started in 17, so that's a big enough turnaround, you know, like, so.
Yeah, Setanta boss Gary McGettigan pleased with yesterday's victory. You can hear that full interview with Oisin Kelly and reaction from Danny Cullen and Captain Mark Callan in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Well, in soccer, the second half's underway in this evening's World Cup Group G contest. There's about an hour gone. It's currently Brazil 0, Switzerland 0. The winners of that game will guarantee themselves a place in the last 16. And we've had 11 goals in the other two games that have been finished so far today. Earlier in Group G, Cameroon came from 3-1 down to draw 3-3 with Serbia to keep alive their slim hopes of progress. And in Group H, Ghana survived squandering a a two-goal lead to defeat South Korea by 3-2. Mohamed Kudus scored twice for the Black Stars, maintaining their hopes of a place in the last 16. And it's a 7 o'clock start for the other game in Group H, with Portugal guaranteed a knockout spot if they defeat Uruguay. In other World Cup news, Iran boss Carlos Queiroz says his football association's complaint to FIFA about social media posts by the USA won't have any bearing on tomorrow's World Cup game. The Americans have removed the Islamic script and emblem from the Iran flag. They've confirmed it was a show of solidarity with anti-government protests that were sparked by the death of a woman who died in custody, having been arrested for wearing a headscarf incorrectly. In Scotland, it's understood Rangers are close to appointing Mick Beale as their new boss. He's in Glasgow for further talks after current club Queen's Park Rangers gave permission to speak to him by the Scottish Premiership side. And professional clubs in Scotland are being told they should not hold training sessions heading the ball the day before and after matches. It's part of new guidelines from the Scottish FA, with research continuing on links to brain injuries. The recommendations also encourage no more than one session with regular heading a week. In rugby, Robbie Henshaw will miss Leinster's first two pool games in the Heineken Champions Cup. The province have confirmed that the Ireland centre underwent an operation last week on a wrist injury. Henshaw will also miss the upcoming inter-provincials with Ulster, Munster and Connacht. And Ulster prop Jeff Tumaga Allen will miss Saturday's game with Leinster. He's been sent for an MRI, having sustained an injury in his left ankle in Friday's win over Zebre. However, Eric O'Sullivan is in contention for the RDS trip, having recovered from a shoulder injury. And in golf, Shane Lowry and Seamus Power have both been named by Europe's Ryder Cup captain for next month's Hero Cup in Abu Dhabi. Luke Donald is also in charge of this contest between Continental Europe and Great Britain and Ireland. The game action gets underway in January 13th to the 15th. Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari, they'll both compete as playing captains. Finally, this evening on this week's DL debate after the 7 o'clock news, Brenton Devaney's interviews and analysis from the weekend's big games, including Setanta manager Gary McGettigan and captain Mark Callan after their brilliant Ulster title win over Glenarm of Antrim. We also hear from a disappointed but proud Desi Gallagher as his Dunlow side lost in the Ulster Intermediate semi-final to Galbally of Tyrone. Frank Craig joins Brendan to discuss all matters GAA and his story behind the writing of Anthony Molloy's brilliant autobiography, while Brenton also speaks with Owen Rose and Tyrone star Cahal McShane. That's the DL debate after 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, a shooting in Derry last night has been condemned. A shot was fired at a house in Kildaff Gardens at around 9 o'clock. It's believed a number of masked men entered the house, one of whom was said to have been carrying a firearm and fired a shot at the front door before making off. Two men were in the house at the time and were uninjured. The chair of the Derry and Strabane Policing and Community Safety Partnership, Alderman Darren Guy, says these ongoing attacks are totally unacceptable, with people in the city and district shocked and disgusted. The Taoiseach's remarks about fully arming Gardaí have been blown out of proportion, according to the Justice Minister. Leo Varadkar has faced criticism for saying he would support the move if asked by the Garda Commissioner. Justice Minister Heather Humphrey said there are no plans currently to arm more Gardaí.
He was answering a direct question, and I think perhaps it has been somewhat blown out of proportion. What he said was any decision on that was a matter for the Garda Commissioner, and he went on to say that if the Commissioner requested more armed Gardaí, that government would consider that.
Well, the president of the Garda Representative Association doesn't believe there is an appetite among members for Gardaí to be armed. Brendan O'Connor says being fully armed at all times would be a massive step and not something members would be fully in favour of.
The most recent research that we did as an association, I think it's gone back about a decade or so, indicated our members were not in favour of being routinely armed, and I think that would be still the case, just speaking to members and speaking from my own experience on the front line. I think that most members, we do acknowledge that there is a lack of capacity to respond to armed incidents, and we think it should be more than this at the minute, but certainly I don't believe there's an appetite out there amongst our members to move towards a fully armed police service. That's something that that would be a massive step, and I think it's something that our members would be hesitant at all. But I'm not saying for one second we don't acknowledge that our members do need better arms, to better access to firearms, and they need to be scrambled locally when available. But I suppose what we would see maybe as a position is the New Zealand model, where you have an unarmed police service out there on patrol interacting with communities, but they have firearms locked in cabinets in their vehicles. And whenever a situation arises, they can then be authorised and move from one to the other. So if it got to the stage where there was that was required, that's something we would look at. But to move unilaterally to a routine in the armed service, I don't think that's what our members want, and I don't think that's possible what the public would like to see.
There's renewed calls for the government to maintain VAT for tourism and hospitality at 9%. The rate was reduced in November 2020 in an effort to help the tourism and hospitality industries deal with the impact of pandemic lockdowns. The government confirmed in the budget that it will return to 13.5% at the end of February. Chief Executive of the Tourism Industry Confederation, Owen O'Mara Walsh, says there are concerns visitor numbers from overseas will be down next year.
More normal year for domestic tourism. So you'll have a mixture of domestic staycations and also Irish people going abroad for the sun. But I think what's critically important for Irish tourism businesses is that the overseas markets continue to come here. So the French, the British, the Germans, the Americans. So it's vital that the government continues pro-tourism policies and certainly doesn't add cost to the system by increasing the VAT rate.
Weather now cold and dry tonight with clear spells. Lowest temperatures of 0 to plus 3 degrees, bringing some frost. The closing headlines this evening. Police are continuing to appeal for information in relation to a man missing from Tyrone who they believe may have travelled to Donegal. 55-year-old Kieran Coyle was last seen in Dungannon at around 10 o'clock this morning. Donegal County Council has passed its three-year capital programme for the period from 2023 to 2025, with over €937 million expected to be spent on capital projects such as housing, roads and major tourism projects. Defective block homeowners staged a protest outside County House in Lifford today, ahead of the final meeting of Donegal County Council for 2022. The meeting was adjourned for a time while prominent campaigners Paddy Diver and Lisa Hone, along with three affected homeowners, addressed the chamber. Concerns have been raised in regards to the protection of residents at a designated centre for adults with disabilities in Donegal. At the Dunwiley Centre in Stranorder, it was found that an incident of alleged suspected abuse had not been identified as a safeguarding concern. And Letterkenny University Hospital remains under significant pressure today, with 83 people waiting on a bed there, making it the most overcrowded hospital in the country. Elective procedures have been postponed at the hospital, as it also deals with a significant increase in the number of people presenting with COVID-19 and five wards affected by an outbreak of the virus. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, November the 28th. The death has occurred of Kathleen Geraldine Curran, 31 Willowbrook, Glencar, Letterkenny, House Private Pleas. Cremation will take place in Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan on Wednesday. The death has taken place of Mary McLaughlin, High Glen, Carrigard. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the Meath Parish Facebook page. House Private Pleas on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mark McDade, Ned, Cherry Avenue, Cardonagh. Mark will repose at his mum and dad's home, Nishi and Bernie Ned's, Temple Moyle, Culdaff. Mark's remains will arrive in Muff tonight at approximately 10:30. House private tonight. You may pay your respects tomorrow from 11 o'clock until 11 o'clock and on Wednesday from 11 o'clock until 11 o'clock. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of James Tinney Fatherings, 31 Melmount Road, Strabane, reposing at his home tomorrow from 12 noon. Funeral leaving his home on Thursday morning at 9:55 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 9 o'clock until 12 noon. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.
The death has taken place of Caitlin Strain, Ballydoreen, Burnfoot. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal from her home tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in St Murrah's Cemetery, Fawn. Caitlin's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. And the death has occurred of Danny Wilson, Lustigal Carrigans, formerly Craig Adoes, St Johnston. His remains are reposing at his late residence today with rosary at 8 o'clock. Funeral from Lustigal Carrigans tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Bathan's Church, St Johnston, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Friends of Lifford Hospital Fund, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.